This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. What started as a moratorium on putting up new electronic billboards became a full-fledged study on all signs in the city of La Crosse. That led to an ordinance that would change the types of signs businesses will be allowed to have over the next 15 years. The new sign rules were approved last week on a 14-3 vote by the La Crosse City Council. This week, the ordinance was vetoed by Mayor Matt Harder. We have reaction to the ordinance and its veto. First, from La Crosse City Council President Audrey Cotter. She supports the ordinance and says she was surprised by this week's veto.
When you have that strength of vote from the council, and what people tend to overlook is the fact that the council members represent the whole city of La Crosse. So I think that it's our job to listen to our constituents and to listen to the process as it proceeds. And in their wisdom, then, it's important that they vote according to the knowledge that they have gleaned in the course of the situation.
And this ordinance did pass in the City Council 14-3. Andrea Richmond, Chris Olson, and the council's newest member, James Cherf, voted against it. So when you say that the council had strength in numbers, if it was a closer vote, would it maybe have been more appropriate for the mayor to veto this? Or how do you...
Well, he has to answer for his own vetoes. My feeling is that the council has voted. They will vote again. And I would be very surprised if the veto is not overridden.
Why is it important to override this veto, the side ordinance veto, in your opinion?
Well, it's important because we have listened to the public, to our constituents, both business and homeowners, private individuals. And I did not participate heavily in the product, or at least the study of the situation, but a lot of information was researched and gleaned, and often members of the public have not the time nor the inclination to spend time to really learn what's in there. And so they get pieces of it and they go off and then there are people who will never be convinced.
And this was one of those topics, issues, that did get a lot of people involved at the Committee of the Whole meeting last week.
Mm-hmm.
There was, I think, this was talked about for about 2.5 hours,
right,
with a lot of public input as well.
Yeah.
Why do you think it got to this point? Why is this one of the issues that so many people in the community have gotten around?
Well, I think that what's happening is that as the community is growing, as the population is growing, there are two significant transitions happening, actually, as I see it. And this doesn't happen overnight. But on the one hand, people are beginning to value the bluffs and the river and the scenic beauty and the quality of life that we have. So we are attracting people who have those values. And then on the other end of the spectrum, we have tremendously good social services, and we have people who don't normally get involved to the same degree as the middle of the road people, because those are sort of the two ends. And the middle of the road group is kind of shrinking. And this particular issue got the interest, I believe, of many people who maybe didn't even know who the council member was before that. They really decided that this was an issue that was important to them. And as I say, the tax base for the city will only grow with increased development, whether it's business development or whether it's residential development, hopefully both. And as that tax base goes up, then the cost per property owner at least stays even, or even goes down.
The City Council, as well as La Crosse County, has been looking at the issue of digital billboards, and that's what sparked this whole debate.
Correct.
It's digital billboards. How did this turn into a study and a debate on digital billboards into an overhaul on signs in La Crosse?
Well, I think it was that as the committee studied it, they realized that if the digital signs, digital billboards are offensive, they heard enough complaints from people who are troubled by the electronic messaging units, EMUs. And so it was generally by public participation and input and in the course of their study.
So do you think when the business community says that this will hinder their marketing, their visibility in the community, how do you respond to that?
I say look at the national standards that are changing. And if you look at the automobile dealer signs around town now and can remember what they were a couple of years ago, they're already ahead of the game here in La Crosse, most of them. I mean, many of their signs, that was the first thing that I pointed out to some of the newer members of the committee. I said, just look at the car dealerships and see that they are using a different style of sign here in La Crosse. Why? Because their national standard is being changed. They do what they're told.
Just making sure that there's some distinction between what signs are affected. If a business has a sign on their building.
On premise. To my knowledge, that is not being affected by
sure.
That's one area that was not addressed.
But if it's a sign on a pole that for that business, that might be, you know,
right.
20 feet away from that business. That sign is what
we're
talking
As long as it's
about.
On their property.
On their property, okay.
Yeah. On premise.
And then the off-premise signs, that's more referring to billboards?
Mostly, yeah.
Okay. The businesses are given 15 years to change their signs to become more compliant. There's the 14 feet maximum that a sign can mm-hmm. be. They must have the monument base.
Style.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more aesthetically pleasing. I guess mm-hmm. that's what the thought process was in the long run.
Well, I think there's more to it than just being aesthetically pleasing. Actually, there are really, for somebody who is already into the area of the whatever business they're looking for, they're going to see something at eye level height from the driver's seat than taking their eye off the road. And if you're looking up on the right and looking up on the left and there's another one 100 feet away, you're not going to be concentrating on driving. And especially if you're a visitor to the area, it's not really helpful. Plus, people have GPS these days anyway.
I want to talk about some of the exemptions that are included in the sign ordinance. There's the arts district exemption.
Mm-hmm.
There's this allowance for some variance on signs. I know mm-hmm. Dave's Guitar Shop, that sign mm-hmm. was brought up multiple times. That sign will be okay because mm-hmm. some exceptions will be mm-hmm. made. Why is it that there's room for exemption? Why not just have one rule?
Well, if we had absolutely ironclad rules in relation to all of our ordinances, on the one hand, it might be very easy, but, you know, it's either a yes or no situation. But on the other hand, when ordinances are drafted, the implications of the ordinance, there's always, in my opinion, there always has to be room for an exception. And that's why we have the process that allows for variances and exceptions. And that's not only in the sign ordinance. That's across the board in most all ordinances one way or another.
Do you know the thought process behind the Arts District exemption? And can you explain that?
Again, I'm not a member of that committee. But I think the thinking behind it is that one does associate billboard-type signs. Or maybe, I mean, they're really somewhere between a billboard and an EMU.
Sure. And like a marquee.
Yeah.
Like
and
marquee.
Traditionally, those are the type of signs that have been exempted, or at least that have been used in relation to promotion of arts districts. It's something that, to me, once it's an arts district, people are going to be able to find the places anyway. But
so some people argue, why favor that industry over, you know, the businesses on George Street?
I think because of the size of the structures in that area, that the structures are big enough and they basically or largely will be on the building or you know, as part of the design of the building. So I think there's a little more architectural integrity probably with them.
And technology is changing so much, and who knows what signs will be able to do in 5-10 years. I understand that the side ordinance has been rewritten many times, even over the last decade, 3 times, I believe, since 2001.
Several times, anyway. Plus, there's already amendments introduced or under consideration. And that's how it should be. You know, none of us is perfect. And so we have to do the best we can with what we've got and always be open to hear the other person's perspective.
So it's just an ongoing process of keeping up with the times and the technology and...
And the future plans for the city, because that ultimately is the vision for the city is what really counts. You know, we started City Vision 2000 over 20 years ago, and little by little we have created an environment that people now want to be associated with in the city, and hence the reason we're managing to turn the tide and have people move back.
So when you envision the city of La Crosse in 15 years, which is the time that businesses have to change over their signs, how do you envision the city aesthetically, but also as far as the business community goes?
I think as long as we are very proactive in our visioning for the future, and also I know of at least 3 very, very attractive development opportunities that are really in the hopper now, and some of which are public and some of which are not quite here yet. In all the years I've been on the council, I have never been aware of as much interest in development in the downtown area. But the downtown is the heart of the city, and if we don't nurture the heart of and grow the business community and the residential community in the downtown area, then we'll feel that bleeding again. And so the tide, I believe, has been turned. And I mean, we've over 100 million in new tax base in the downtown area. Well, if you take that out of the budget process, and you're going to see an increase in the property tax rates, and even with no increase in fact, a reduction in the overall budget as well. I've kind of got off the topic, but you can't separate it.
Sure.
They are all so related.
Connected. Audrey Cotter is the La Crosse City Council President. I also spoke about the sign ordinance issue with La Crosse Area Chamber of Commerce President Dick Granchelic. The chamber recently opposed the sign changes, saying they would hurt businesses. He says given the wide margin of council support, Mayor Harder will have an uphill battle to have his veto sustained. He was also surprised by the veto.
I had not had any indication that he was interested in doing that. We stated the case for the businesses and the members we represent and the concerns we had, and I think we were very consistent in those comments throughout the past 18 months of deliberation. The challenge is when you combine the on-premise sign ordinance issues with the off-premise sign ordinance issues, it gets very, very murky.
Let's get into the reasonings why you spoke in front of the city council on behalf of the Chamber of Commerce saying that this ordinance was not in the best interest of chamber members, businesses in the community.
And I look at that from the side of the on-premise sign issues.
Can you give an example?
The way the ordinance has now been drafted and now is written and passed, now under a veto, the maximum height is 14 feet. Well, 14 feet, if you look out your kitchen window and look at your neighbor's basketball hoop that the kids use, is about another foot taller than the top of the backboard. That's 14 feet.
And these are the signs that people would see if they're driving down the road.
If they're driving down the road. And that's a significant challenge because at that height, you are conflicting with trees, you're conflicting with power lines, you're conflicting with city street signs, whether they be signs telling you what street you may be on, what the speed limit is. Those signs certainly are going to be in the sight line of a maximum height 14-foot sign telling you what business you're nearby.
And you said this at the city council meeting, that with these smaller signs, and we can get into some of the other details around the new ordinance, but you said that it's going to limit market and promotion for different businesses. And even some business owners said people aren't going to be able to find us in certain areas.
Yeah, I happened to be on the road this past weekend. I was looking for gasoline in a community to the east of Madison. I took an exit because there was a blue indicator sign that there was a Quick Trip there. I took the exit. I went down the ramp and absolutely had no clue where that store was, because they had a monument sign. And the only reason I was able to see it, because I could find the canopy of the station after I took a blind turn and went in search of it. So that's just a disadvantage when the BP station on the opposite exit had a long pole sign and you could easily see it from the highway and could easily find it. So those are the challenges you face as a business when you're dealing with people trying to find your business.
And with the monument signs, that is another part of this ordinance. So a business's sign will have to – basically the base has to be – touching the ground. They can't have a pole. You can't have two poles holding up each side. And there has to be some sort of aesthetically pleasing quality to it, it seems like, too.
And it has to be landscaped. So then sure. You have to constantly be trimming that landscaping so that people can see your sign. There comes a challenge with snow and snow piles that we somehow have a tendency to create in the upper Midwest. You are faced with some significant challenges as the business owner. The pole sign, while some may say is unattractive, doesn't take up parking space. We talk about La Crosse. We talk about the difficulty with which we have to park right now. We're looking at more downtown development and the shortage of parking spaces. All of a sudden, you're now taking up a parking space in each lot that you now have to put a monument sign in, whereas before a pole sign would take up a very small corner of an area and you could park cars right nearby it. So again, land use and the difficulty with which we have with a shortage of land in a city that's confined by the river and the bluffs and our other issues surrounding us in the north and south, we're faced with now using that land for signs that was not the case in the past.
Some of the supporters had said that with the new sign ordinance, this will make the community more beautiful and could be attractive to businesses. Do you agree with that at all?
Well, I think signage is in the eyes of the beholder. While I don't necessarily see a pole sign as a negative sign, monument signs can look very nice, and they do look nice if they're used in the proper setting, in a proper location. But I don't think you can now all of a sudden change your city and how your city has built for 100-plus years and change the features to form into a new idea that works in a brand-new development that's carved out of a farm field in a setting that is now a suburb of a major city. To change that in La Crosse, Wisconsin, is a significant impact on the business community.
One thing that surprised me the most about this is that businesses will have 15 years to comply, which seems like a lot of time.
It is, and what it was designed for in the discussion on the electronic message units, they were looking at the lifespan of electronic message units. And it was stated at one of the committee hearings that those signs do change about every 15 years. If you drive up and down, and let's pick a street, let's go up and down George Street. I've been in town now 12 years, and I know there are many of those signs that have not changed in that period of time. You look at that and go, that seems like a really long time, but in the life of a business, that really isn't that long of a time.
Some of the business and property owners did speak in favor of this. Is this an issue that has divided the business community, or do you think maybe it's just this moment in time and...
A sign, a building, is in the eye of the beholder. The business people that spoke in favor of the ordinance, I don't blame them at all. That's the way they feel. That's what they believe. They have done some developments and have been able to create some signage of that nature. Now, 14 feet, that's not going to be met even in the development of Three Rivers Plaza. If you look at the sign on the corner that advertises Festival Foods and Three Rivers Plaza, that sign is a lot higher than 14 feet. So therefore, while yes, 14 feet is great, it didn't work for us here. So I think you got to look at those different situations and realize that in some cases, yes, it works. The Candlewood Suites sign, that's probably, and I haven't stood next to it, but I would guess it's probably not more than 7-8 feet high. They built the property there up about 4 feet from the street level because they wanted to bring that property out of the floodplain. So by doing so, they automatically raise the height of that sign, and it's probably from the street to the top of that sign is probably still under 14 feet. But that's a very specific situation that just happened to work in that physical location for that business.
This whole debate sparked because there was an electronic billboard put out on Highway 16, and then all of a sudden, you know, there were a bunch more changes to the sign ordinance in La Crosse. Has the chamber made any stance on electronic billboards, or are you more concerned with businesses' signs?
We have largely kept our interest in the business on-premise sign issue. We have followed and watched the off-premise issues, but many of those are not going to change because many are not within the city of La Crosse. The way the ordinance is now written, there virtually are going to be no changes in the city itself because of the way the restrictions are put in place and the signs that are already in place. So there's going to be very limited change to off-premise billboard signage in the city. You're going to see it where the traffic count past, vehicular traffic past the sign can demand the use of an electronic sign and hence therefore the investment that it takes to put one in and the revenue that can be returned from that investment. So those are going to occur where traffic patterns are the highest.
So if the city council does override the mayor's veto and the sign ordinance does come into play, I mean, what do you do? Does the business community just comply? Do you have plans to maybe try to compromise something else?
I think you comply until you begin to figure out if the ordinance works. During this whole conversation, again, I've been in town since 2001, and we have rewritten the sign ordinance 3 times since 2001. While the ordinance is in place, changes will be dictated by all of a sudden somebody's going to go, that doesn't work. And then that will then force a relook at the sign ordinance again. Signs such as in our hospitals, if you think about the distance between signs, the height of signs, the challenge of electronic message units, when somebody's looking for an emergency room, they want to find an emergency room. They're not fully within their capacities at that time. They're nervous. They're concerned about the individual seated in the other seat in the car. They want to find an emergency room. So to limit our hospital campuses to the number of signs they can have, the height, the square footage of them, is going to have an impact on how people find things and use things in our community. And all of a sudden, we're going to be making exceptions, and that then will force changes to the full ordinance.
Dick, is there anything else you'd like to talk about in regards to the new sign ordinance?
There was discussion about the Arts District and the electronic messages.
Sure.
The Arts District isn't happy because they're not big enough. The concept of an electronic message unit is to tell you an event or a story or sell you a product. And in that process, they felt that what was put in the ordinance limited their ability to do so and are really looking at it and going, we're not sure what we're going to do at this point.
Which is interesting because they were, and the Arts District, we should clarify, is the area by the Pump House where the new theater will be going.
And the Lacrosse Center.
And the Lacrosse Center.
You know, and if you look at the Lacrosse Center, they didn't want to inhibit the Lacrosse Center from using the sign that they already have. So it's kind of a little bit disingenuous in that let's protect our property, but everybody else has to comply with something different. So it's been a frustrating walk, and you know, we will continue to work on it and continue to monitor it.
Dick Granchelik is president of the La Crosse Area Chamber of Commerce, which opposes new changes to the city's sign ordinance. I also spoke with La Crosse City Council President Audrey Cotter, who is in favor of the sign ordinance. Despite the majority of the council supporting the sign changes, the law was vetoed this week by Mayor Matt Harder. The city council will vote on whether to override the mayor's veto at October's council meeting. A two-thirds council vote is needed for the sign ordinance to become law. Coming up next, the public is being asked its opinion on long-range transportation growth and planning in the La Crosse area. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. To hear this or other recent editions of Newsmakers, visit our website at wpr.org/lacrosse. We also welcome your comments and ideas. Follow the links on our archives page at wpr.org/lacrosse.